Hello, this is the Saturday podcast. Tomorrow is Resurrection Sunday. And so this particular message today is going to have to do with Christ's death on the cross. Two key things that are very important concerning Christ's death on the cross. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus who gave of himself a human sacrifice on Calvary's cross. How we thank you for the payment for sin that he made on that cross to make it possible for us to go to heaven. And help us, Lord, today to look at these very two key aspects, key important doctrines related to his death on the cross. Might we get this firmly implanted in our minds, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, two important doctrines related to Christ's death on the cross. First of all, number one, it was a substitutionary death. He died on that cross as our sin substitute. So it was substitutionary. Well, first of all, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at the first four verses of this chapter because it defines the gospel for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So he's declaring the gospel. The word gospel means good news. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Now that would be true of believers. He's speaking to the believers at Corinth. Yes, they had received the gospel by faith, and as a result they were saved. As he says in the next verse, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he did. Verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, and then on the third day he rose again. That is the crux of the gospel message. Notice that the rising again part is part of the gospel. And we'll be getting into that tomorrow in our Resurrection Sunday message. But so this is the definition of the gospel. It's death, burial, and resurrection. And what we're focusing on are two aspects of his death. And the first one is his substitutionary death. Okay, so let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Got a few verses on this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, or as a substitute for us. That's what it's talking about in the original Greek. The for has to do with substitution. So he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, because Christ never committed any sins, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Christ was made to be sin for us, or in place of us, or as a substitute for us. That's why we believe in his death as being a substitutionary death. All right, another place. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So his blood, his shed blood, is an important part of his substitutionary death. He shed his blood on that cross. It was a blood sacrifice. Just like in the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals, and they would have to put their hand on the head of the animal, and then the priest would kill the animal. The blood would be shed. Because that was a substitutionary thing. And in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. Substitutionary in its aspects. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Okay, another verse on this. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It says here that his own self, he bare our sins in his own body. So he made payment for our sins as our substitute, as our sin substitute. Had he not done that, then all of humanity would have to pay for our own sins. None of us would make it into heaven, because heaven is a perfect place. There's no sin in heaven. And the only thing left for the Lord to do with us would be to cast all of humanity into the lake of fire for all eternity. But because the Lord Jesus became our sin substitute and paid for the sins of the whole world, those who received that payment, like I did back in December of 78, that's when I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior and I asked Him to come into my life and save me. Those who are willing to do that, then that payment is put to their account. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what I did that night. So his substitutionary death. Let's look at our second point. And this is important. His unlimited atonement. In other words, when he died on that cross, he paid for the sins of the entire world, but it's held in account. It's not like everyone's getting a free ride to heaven. No, you've got to put your faith and trust in him in order to do that. But it's an unlimited atonement, and this is important. Take a look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 John 2, 2. Sorry. 1 John 2, 2. I don't know how this verse could be any clearer. 1 John 2, 2. And he is the propitiation. He is the divine satisfaction. He is the acceptable sacrifice. That's what the word propitiation means. He is the propitiation for our sins. There's our substitutionary part. For our sins. The our here is talking about believers. So he's the propitiation for our sins. He made payment for our sins. And it says, and not for ours only, not just for believers, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now it says the whole world there. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on Calvary's cross, that payment was sufficient to pay for the sins of the entire world. And so his atonement was unlimited. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2, another place. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's look at verses 1 through 7, just to get the context. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Notice the word all there. Be made for all men. For kings and for all, there it is again, that are in authority, everyone in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so notice the word all is used four times in that passage. And we can't take that word all and just limit that somehow. Because it talks about all that are in authority. In verse 4, it talks about him wanting all men to be saved. And then in verse 6, it says, who gave himself a ransom for all. So we can't say that when he died on the cross, that it was just for believers, based on these verses. Okay, one other place. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter 2, 1, talking about unlimited atonement. 2 Peter 2:1. Now there are those out there that believe that his death on the cross was limited, the atonement was limited just to those who would be saved. But that's not really what the Bible says here. All right, let's turn to 2 Peter 2:1, if I can get there. 2 Peter 2:1. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So here it's talking about false teachers, people who are obviously not saved. They don't know the Lord as their Savior. They're not headed for heaven. And yet we're told here that they deny the Lord that bought them. And so what I'm trying to say here is what Christ did on Calvary's cross was for all. And the big thing that sends people to hell is when they reject the Lord, when they reject what he did for them on Calvary's cross. How would we do that? How would we reject what Christ did on the cross? Well, by not trusting in him. Not believing in him alone as the way to salvation. Now, the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, singular, only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say but by a certain religion, but by going to a certain church, but by being good, or, you know, doing nice things for people or any of that stuff. That is not what he says he said there. He says, but by me. And he says, I am the way. I don't know how much clearer it could be. And you know, if you reject what Christ did for you on Calvary's cross, if you refuse to believe in him, and instead you're trusting in some religious system to get you into heaven, that's the same thing as rejecting Christ. I was a Christ rejecter for many years, till I was 27 years old, and I came to understand the gospel message that Christ died for me, and then I trusted him as my Savior, and then I was born again. That's what needs to happen. As we think of our country, here we are coming up on Resurrection Sunday, tomorrow, a time when it's the one time when most people go to church. And right now the churches are shuttered and they're unable to go. So I just pray that during this time we could be a real witness, a real testimony. And, you know, the death of Christ means something to us. You know, it's just pivotal to our faith to understand that he died on the cross for us and paid for the sins of the whole world. Pivotal doctrinal thing that we need to understand. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these things we've seen just briefly in your word. As we think about the resurrection, which we'll be remembering tomorrow, Lord, we think of all the people around us that need to hear the gospel and need to be saved. And I pray, Lord, that you would open the hearts of people, that we would see an influx in our churches once we're able to go back again. And as we think of this virus, Lord, we're thankful that it's so far it hasn't been as bad as they initially thought. And we pray that very soon, Lord, that the numbers would come down enough and things would flatten out enough that we can return to a somewhat normal life. And we think of the poor people in China. So many of them, Lord, have died. And the conditions there and everything, it's just horrible under the communist government there. We pray for them as well. We know there are believers in China. We pray that you would be with them and help them, Lord, through this difficult time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have a great day, and I'll be talking to you tomorrow. God bless. Goodbye.